You're listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon, we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, and all of the six areas of the Healthful Living Model, and you can read more about that at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and Healthful Living advocate with Healthful Living, and I am here today with three guests. Colleagues of mine from the Toastmasters organization, where we learn to develop ourselves and practice our public speaking. And with me today, from my left to my right, not that you can see me, but you're listening from left to right, Gary Jones is a performance, he's with Performance Consultant International. He is a management and leadership training consultant, and I want to welcome Gary to the show.
Thank you, Martin. Great to be here.
Thanks for coming down. Kelly Yen is a marketing coordinator with Image Global Impact, and she's with us here today.
Thank you, Martin.
And also Dina Bates. She's a personal coach. She does sales coaching as well, and I'm excited that she's here.
Thanks, Martin. I'm excited as well.
Okay. So we want to talk about a few things today, and really the big broad spectrum of life. We were talking outside, and there could be nothing more bottom line reality sandwich about life than understanding this spectrum of experience from fear to love, from constriction and closeness to openness and freedom. There's so many different ways to speak about it. It doesn't matter what one's personal spiritual orientations are. We've all experienced those that realm and spectrum of life experience from one side to the other. And we all can understand and express within our own way the feelings associated with either being constricted in fear or being in a situation where it's very open and safe and loving, and how that affects really everything in our lives, everything that we feel and everything that manifests in our world. And I want to talk a little bit about public speaking, which is how we all know each other and how we've come to become friends, and that public speaking is the number one fear that Americans have. They constantly do polls, and it's been for years now I've read about this, that people asked what is their greatest fear, and above death they put public speaking. They would rather avoid having to speak their mind or opinion or whatever in public than to be stuck with a, you know, deathful situation, which is quite extraordinary. And so I wanted to ask you all, just what's that about? What do you think is behind people's incredible fear of public speaking? Anyone? Gary, what do you think?
Well, Martin, that's a good question. I think just the idea of being out in front of people, having people looking at you and expecting amazing wisdom or expecting an opinion that really matters or is very, very full of good value and good meaning makes a lot of pressure for many, many people. And I think that's probably the main thing. People's eyes are on you expecting some real valuable information or some real profound thoughts, and if you don't deliver it with some real impact, that's a lot of pressure with all those eyes on you.
Kelly?
Following from what Gary just said, I think public speaking is the moment of true honesty. You have to be extremely confident in knowing yourself, how you have to have an opinion, mm-hmm. be able to express it, articulate it. That for any language learner is difficult. First you have the feeling and then the thought, and then you have to learn how to have the right grammar, the right logical construction of your words and your feelings. It's a huge challenge. It's an amazing thing that humans actually attempt to do this in the first place, and that we do manage to communicate well enough. Now, to do that in front of a whole group of people who are all thinking different things and seeing you, it's a rare occasion that we actually have an opportunity to be in such a situation. So we have very little practice, really, throughout our entire life, coming up to adulthood, to really be public speakers. So to be expected to perform utmost And we have that expectation of ourselves to be eloquent speakers in front of a group of people. It's quite of a wild expectation to think we can do it right off the bat. We do need practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scary thing to do, and it only comes with really practicing. And in the end, you do get great results because it'll affect every realm of your life. So it's a critical thing to think about.
Right, right. Dina, you're a personal coach. I'm sure you've had clients and conversations around this issue, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I really want to piggyback on what Kelly said, because my initial gut is the fear of the unknown, that they're not familiar with speaking publicly, because we don't have those many oftentimes to speak publicly, to speak in front of groups. So then when someone's asked, it's that fear of what am I supposed to do? I don't know this. This is new territory for me. And I think the more what Toastmasters brings is that practice and to be able to push yourself outside that comfort zone and to know it and to get over that fear of the unknown.
Mm. And the unknown in that case being, will I be either be accepted by the group or will I be good enough? I mean, what are the questions that we're asking inside, do you think? Because I know people are listening right now and they're all going, yeah, I know, that's it, that's me. I will never talk. I know I'm not the kind of person who's going to get up in front of, you know, whomever, whether it's at work or maybe sometimes we create, you know, outrageous imaginations, like public speaking means to be speaking in front of thousands of people at Union Square, or, you know, but it also could be, you know, five people at work, right?
Yeah.
Gary?
Well, I think some of it is about acceptance, about many of the things that you said. And I think in addition to that, it's about the perception that we have as those who are going to do the speaking. We're taught as public speakers or in Toastmasters in general that the people that we're speaking with or speaking to are really our friends. The audience is generally our friend.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't want to see us fail. While inside we have the fear that, oh my gosh, what happens if I say something and people don't like it and I fail? That's generally not the expectation of the audience, and hard to teach a speaker, a public speaker, especially someone who's starting out, that that's not the expectation of that speaker, that they're going to fail, and if they do, they're not going to ridicule them right away.
So the audience, what you're saying is the audience isn't necessarily expecting us to fail.
They're not expecting us to fail, and even if we are going down that slippery slope, I don't think that they're there to make it even worse for us as public speakers. I think they would really, in general, like to support us in any way that they can. And it's difficult. It depends on what venue that is. I mean, if it's 1,000 people, I'm not sure exactly what that support looks like or what it feels like. But if it's 5 people and you're trying to say something, it may be a different look or way that there is support.
Mm-hmm.
Martin, I think some of the questions you brought up are the most fundamental questions to life. Who are you? And public speaking addresses that. You have to be someone and explain to people who you are. That's why public speaking is so important for each individual, because they have to confront these questions in life before they do anything, in your career, in your relationships, especially your relationship to yourself. You want to love yourself. You want to accept yourself. That's all of our goals in one way or another, whether we think it outright or not. So the earlier you get on the bandwagon and start practicing, explain to others who you are in small and large ways, then ultimately it helps in approaching your real meaning of life, who you are, what's your relationship to life, and what do you want to do with it?
Yeah, that's a really deep notion. Who are you? Who are you to be comfortable sharing who you are with the world, with other people? And who are you to be valuing what you have to say as being, you know, a worthy contribution to the collective of, you know, this team, this company, this society? And it's easy to ask those questions, and everybody listening now is coming up with all their answers in their mind. Oh, I'm just so and so. I really don't want to, you know, say too much. I don't want to stir things up. I mean, whatever it is, our inner dialogue is. And maybe it's easy for me to just sit here and say, well, you know, of course, who are you? I mean, everyone has the right to be living and flourishing and going through their life experience, you know, regardless of whatever they may think about their history or their capability. None of those things are are inherent markers of one's worth. No other human being has the right to determine somebody else's true value because, you know, we're all too busy doing that ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're all too busy denigrating our own value in our own minds. Nobody else can do that for us. But the thing is, it's a great question because I think once we explore that, right, then that works its way through and manifests as a greater level of comfort expressing ourselves and expressing our opinion, whether we call that public speaking or whether we just call that comfort in saying, you know, what I have to say is of value here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Martin, what that makes me think of is too many of us sit back and think, who am I? Who am I to get up and speak? Who am I to change my life? Who am I? And unfortunately, I think that comes up too much. If people stood in more and often in that place of who am I? Who are you? I am a powerful person. All of us have something unique to say, something unique to give to the world, and really getting deep within us of who are we and really embracing that, embracing the person they are. I think the world would just change.
I agree. You know, I want to make a quick parallel here. To karaoke. And you're all giggling. And
I'm not going to sing.
No, it doesn't necessarily have to be about singing, but simply as a medium of personal development. Mm-hmm. I discovered karaoke about 20 years ago, and what I saw in karaoke venues or places where it happened to be going on was reticent people who really dug music that never thought they could sing or even mm-hmm. cared about being a good singer would feel something about a song that they really liked, and that would make it comfortable for them. And then perhaps several friends would come together and say, hey, let's the five of us go up there and do this song that we all know and we love. And next thing you know, they're all just enjoying the song. And what they're focusing on at that time is the fun of the music and the camaraderie of just hanging out. And it doesn't matter if it's any good. There's no standard. And the fact that they happen to be in front of, you know, 50 people in a club or a restaurant or something is completely secondary. And it's an amazing experience of growth where they're actually able to just focus on having fun. And that then builds a reference of an experience of actually being in front of people and doing what comes naturally to you. And again, it's not about the quality of the singing, right, but it's just about the enjoyment of that experience. Do you have a point, Kelly?
Yeah, I wanted to make another parallel to last night. Martin was leading the impromptu speaking portion of our Toastmasters meeting. That's when each person will be proposed a question that they had no preparation for, and they just had to speak 2 minutes and discuss their answer to that question. Martin's question last night was, there is a saying, follow your bliss. What does that mean to you? And I think this is a very poignant question for our topic today as we touch on the meaning of life, our fears, our bliss. What do we want to do with ourselves? Who are we? So speaking of karaoke, that's what pulls out a lot of bliss in people. They're happy. And at the same time, it somehow removes that happiness and that bliss, removes them from their fears. It allows them in some odd way to leap over all these obstacles we put up for ourselves in our head and all that judgment. Mm. So following your bliss sometimes is the most transcendent way to bypass all these other restrictive forces that we are confronted with every single day because you just don't care about them. You're happy.
Right.
You're happy.
And challenge, though, is fear. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fear in our world, a lot of fear, and fear is inhibiting. Fear is constriction. Fear is the antithesis of freedom, openness, expression, love. And granted, we create a lot of fear ourselves in our own minds. And granted, we live in a world full of fear. And fear is utilized intentionally to paralyze people. And a lot of it is just sort of, you know, just tacitly happening in our environment. And fear freezes us. And stress really is fear in the body. Stress is, I think stress can often be synonymous with this notion of fear because it's a constriction. And now we know that something like 90% of dis-ease in our physical bodies is a result of some sort of stress or some sort of fear inhibiting the system. And you can easily estimate from that that if we were absent of that fear, we would be absent of a significant amount of breakdown, be it physically or really in any area of life. And with Healthful Living, we describe six areas of life: the health of our bodies, the health of our minds, the health of spirit, the health of community, all of our community interactions, the health of our environment, and the health of economy. And in each of those areas, we can clearly see where fear is an inhibiting factor, where fear prevents us as individuals and collectively, be it groups, teams, organizations, systems, from flowing naturally and from serving all of the participants of that system. We are all participants in multiple systems. And fear freezes us and inhibits the actual flow in those areas. So let's just talk a little bit about that. What are your observations? And let's just talk just a little bit about fear, because we don't want to get too fixated on it, for sure, about how fear is directly impacting whether it's, you know, you personally, somebody you know, or what your observation has been in our society, we'll talk about America, with really any of the areas. Or we actually start with, you know, with health of body.
Well, if I'm going to, hopefully I'll be able to sort of meld this into the health and body subject as well. But one of my observations about fear, just in general, when I talk to some of my clients, is about just change management in general. Just people coming out of their comfort zone, going into a fear zone, and then going through the learning zone so that they're able to develop themselves and grow. And it's so easy to get in the comfort zone and feel good in that comfort zone, whatever it may be, whether it may be going the same direction home all the time or eating or not trying some different type of food or whatever it might be. It's so easy to do that routine thing. And to try something different, it's the fear of the unknown. What is this thing going to do to me? If I go to a different route home, am I going to make it home? Or am I going to encounter a bunch of traffic? Or if I try this food, is it going to be really way too spicy? Or what's going to be the consequence? And once you take that step to at least experiment and take that risk, because the fear is all about, in my view, risk, taking the risk. Once you do that, that's where all the learning and the development and the growth comes in. And you've learned a new skill or you've had a new experience. And now you can move on to the next thing and you've grown. And it's, I think, it's an exciting place and very difficult to get to.
I have an interesting perspective on the fear and our health and body. You mentioned that. I worked for years within the pharmaceutical medical industry, and it really became very prevalent to me that a lot of the new products and drugs are geared towards, you know, our peptic ulcers, our IBS, all these problems that would be solved if we de-stressed our lives. That would all be solved if we took fear out of our life. And now working as a coach, I'm fascinated. I've had some clients I've worked with that as they find their passion, as they decrease that fear, all of their problems go away. Their medications get taken away. It's almost like that person who loses all the weight and no longer needs their diabetic medication. Once they can just live in that passionate place, all that other problems that they have of their body and their health just go by the wayside. And it seems so simple, but it's so fascinating to watch. And I think we forget sometimes that if we just could take away that fear, that stress, that we would be so much healthier and happier.
So maybe too much of a simple question, but how do we take away the fear?
It's a simple question, but I understand from my own personal experience and working with my clients, it's not as easy as just, I'm going to be fearless, and you're fearless. I do think you have to recognize where it's stopping you within your life, because I think a lot of people would stop and say, oh, I'm not fearful, I'm fine, I'm realistic. I hear that a lot. It's realism. It's I'm pragmatic. I can't make that change because it's, you know, it's what I'm supposed to do. So first I think you have to take, or the unreasonable, I think you have to take that real honest inventory of where am I getting stuck and what do I really want, and really switching more to that perspective of what do I want and where are these other things keeping me from having what I truly want, and working on that shifting to what you want. And even taking a couple of things in your life, whether it be I want to lose 10 pounds, lose that 10 pounds, and you'll see how much you feel, how much better you feel, and then just transferring that into the other areas of your life.
And the thing is, there's a stigma about fear, isn't there? I mean, there's so much of it in our world. We're always navigating it, and it's a lifelong endeavor of experiencing it and working through it. Yet there's also a stigma about it. Oh, don't be fearful. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to be tough. I got to work through this. I mean, even as little children, we are drilled with this notion of, you know, be a man, or, you know, work tough and be tough through it and all this kind of stuff, you know? And it's like, who came up with that idea? Who told us that one of the most basic experiences in life we, you know, is not okay to have, not okay to experience? And I appreciate what you're saying, Dina, because, you know, just giving ourselves permission to be where we are and to acknowledge that, yeah, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Just that alone is a glimpse of reality that there can be, honestly, truly, and if you're listening and you're thinking I'm full of it, you know, whatever, send me an email, call me. There can be no shame associated with having an inherently human experience. It cannot be, and nobody can put it upon us. Just a quick aside, I was in my father's in the hospital right now. He's recovering from a seizure. He had a stroke a few years ago, and then there was a relapse, and he's going to be out in a couple of days, and I know that he'll be okay. But while he's there, it's the worst experience in the world for him. And I know that part of him is just trying to tolerate it or get through it, and clearly he's being very frustrated and all these different things. And I just was able to have just a moment with him the other night where I just looked him in the eyes and I said, are you afraid? Mm-hmm. And he started crying. Because it just, you know, I know he doesn't feel that it's okay to express that, or because then he's probably concerned that we're going to freak out if we know that but we know. And just to be able to give ourselves the permission to be where we are in this moment, yeah, is what's absolutely required before we can then turn and move to where we want to go. So however it is that we can allow ourselves the humanity and the humility to acknowledge the reality that life is fearful. There's stuff that's scary. And that we're just human doing our best to address it can help us to just come back perhaps to the present moment and say, okay, you know what? Even if I'm scared, you know, whateverless in this moment, I'm here. I'm still here. And now I can perhaps, you know, recollect my thoughts and decide, okay, which direction do I want to turn?
I agree with you, Martin, that, you know, we're all just a bunch of humans bumbling about in society, trying our best. And we're constantly in a state of falling down and you know, time pushes us forward, and we have to get up again, wake up the next morning and carry on, learn from the experience, and just continue on with life. I think we can all look back in our own life history and see that, yeah, I've fallen down a lot of times, and in the end, in retrospect, I learned from it. Right, we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the ironic thing about fear. What we're fearing is that we're going to be harmed one way or another. But that's inevitable. We're going to get hurt. So the more times you fall down, we logically know we learn from it. We get stronger. We build thick calluses about on our muscle. And with more exercise, more ripping of the muscle tissue, it grows bigger.
Mm.
Makes me think of during driving class, we were taught that if you look at the side of the road, then your steering wheel will veer towards wherever you're looking. I think life is sort of like that. You steer towards whatever your eyes are looking at. So if you're looking at fear, then you're going to be, of course, feeling it. And I think the most instructional thing is to look at where you want to go, accept that we're bumbling humans falling down constantly, and then recognize that when we do fall down, there's that positive aspect of it, that we're at the same time building our muscle. and then continuing to redirect our eyes to where we want to go, that sort of positivity. And I think we'll be surprised at the end of the day, at the end of the decade, how far we've accomplished without even realizing it.
Mm.
That's a little thing I often think about and to encourage me throughout my days.
It's a nice thought. Let's all talk a little bit about, and I'd love you to share some examples of what you notice in your world around constructed fear. We have our own fears that we create ourselves, much of which is as a result of stuff outside of us telling us to be fearful, telling us to be afraid, creating a fearful environment of which we are inside, and then hence we're feeling afraid. And we're living in a world today where there's a lot of fear going around, and it's affecting all areas of life, all areas of our model here. Let's just talk a little bit about some of the manufactured fear that you see out there, and let's just try to do that in a way where, you know, people perhaps themselves can begin. My hope is that people can begin to look at things and see them as fear constructors and look at it as something that's trying to make me afraid, and to see things for what they are a little bit. It's a broad objective, but it's absolutely doable, and it really happens naturally in all of us when we start to stop and think for a minute, you know, what's really going on, and noticing, you know, how we're feeling in the moment. It's easy to feel afraid when you sit and watch a commercial that tells you that you're not okay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is your toe fungus turning a particular color? Oh my God, how could you sit there? And next thing you know, you're, oh my God, yes I do. Yes, I do have that on my toes. And then all of a sudden, the same person who's putting you in fear is giving you a solution. Right? But the thing is, the fear takes over. Fear mode goes, nah, 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 fear, fear, fear. The body experiences fear. The mind goes, oh, I'm feeling that. Right? Like an over-anxious security guard, the body goes, there's fear. The mind goes, oh, I'm feeling that. There must be something to be afraid of. I should go into hyper-alert mode, right? And, of course, when we're in hyper-alert mode, we're not really thinking and utilizing all of our, you know, deeply conscious and intelligent resources because we're in fear mode, right? So we get grabbed by outside things causing us fear. What are some of the most ridiculous things in our world that we're allowing to thrust us into fear today?
I would say, I don't know if I'd use the word ridiculous, but I think the biggest thing that creates fear is others in our lives. I think we've all have experienced that time in our life where we want to make a change, or we want to do something, or we're excited, we just got a new promotion, and then there's that person who's like, well, you know what that's going to mean? That's more taxes. You know what that's going to mean? You're going to work more. What I see throughout is that we don't really support each other as a community. We don't really come together and say, that's so awesome you got that promotion. I know you're really looking forward to that. Instead, we create a whole negative fear, and now this person has to fear their taxes and their job, and you're going to have a new manager. And I really see it as a lot of the people just around with their own fear, putting their fear on others. And that's the most constructed fear that I see.
Is stopping your fear on somebody else?
Yeah, people putting their fear when if they're watching somebody else maybe change or shift.
Mm.
Instead of just allowing them to do that, it brings their fear up. So
right,
they put
right.
their fear on that person
sure.
and say, I'm going to stop you from whatever it is that you're doing because that puts me out of my comfort zone.
Mm.
And then that fear gets then entraps that other person.
Mm.
So, Dina, one thing I want to ask you about that is, while I completely agree with where you're coming from, I'm curious to know if you think that's based on their experience. So the person who maybe they've had that promotion or whatever, and now their experience is now a fear that they sort of want to help take away or help enlighten that person with.
I think it can be many different reasons. I just use that, it just popped in my head as an example that I think a lot of us can relate with. I think sometimes it could be a past experience, and maybe there is that time where they're just wanting to help out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more times than not, it's, you know, it's a, if you're doing something that's out of my comfort zone, I'm going to put my fear, I'm going to put my negative energy onto you. And I see it all the time as I've shifted my career path. I've had many people tell me, it's not going to work. So many people have tried it. And if I believed all them and I went into their fear with them, I would be a very different person than I am today. And I think sometimes that that's when Martin was talking about constructed fear, I just feel like it gets built around us. We have these like big old buildings that are being built around our little tree of life of what we want to do. And we don't get the sun in all the time because those buildings are covering us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just kind of more of the perspective I can see it from, on that constructive fear.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, the one experience that just pops up in my head as I'm trying to think of something to share is growing up, many of my friends were into winter sports. They were into skiing and that kind of thing. And my father, he was blind, so he never saw what skiing was all about. And he heard what his colleagues, or what maybe his children's children of his colleagues explained to them, is that they broke limbs, you know. And he would tell me, oh, no, there's no way you're going skiing because you're going to break something. You know, you're going to break your leg. Absolutely, it's not going to happen. And somehow, some way, I was able to manufacture my way in overnight with some friends, and we went to Tahoe, and I went skiing and told my family, and everything was fine. And he was surprised, and certainly I am an avid snowboarder as a result of that. The point, though, is I think that a lot of our fear is based on not enough information. Sure, of course you can break limbs, but you have to get enough information. Why did this person break their limb? Were they doing something quite extreme, or were they doing something that was a freak accident, or were they not following directions? And so I think that is easily a situation where our fear is constructed as well.
Right, right. Kelly?
For me, one of the most oppressive societal fear factors is the notion of success. What is success? We all want to be successful. And as we build our careers in life, we're all targeting that one notion. I find myself running in circles, chasing after my own tail, going, ah, what is success? I want it. Attached to that is the notion of expectations. And it's always a big laugh that when you try to chase after one expectation to satisfy it, you find yourself criticized for it at the same time. And then when you do something completely ridiculous that everybody fought against, maybe later on you'll be complimented for it. So the real question of what is success is something you just have to not listen, like close your ears about, and look more within, because you're the only one who's going to be living that reality after all, and you're the only one really judging that when you're on your deathbed. What is success? And societal opinions constantly change. That's one thing. The market always changes. People's fortunes get created and then destroyed. And poor people become wealthy. And money loses its value. Wars happen. So looking at it in that way, success is such an empty and fluid notion. That's my biggest problem, is trying to really define it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And not be trapped by it, too.
Right. Right. I wanted to ask you, Dina, about some of what Kelly was just speaking about, is how do we shift that notion inside of ourselves from being overly staring into the wall of fear to recapturing our own focus on what we want to create, and shifting our own inner thoughts associated with even looking at what we want to create?
Well, first of all, it's definitely a process. I don't think anybody would be fooling themselves if I gave them some magic wisdom and all the fear will be taken out of their life. Because even though I feel like I've harnessed a lot of my fear, that human component, there are days where I have to face that fear and see what I really want. And I think the deepest thing is kind of what I said before, is really first taking that inventory. And part of that inventory is, what do you really want? What jazzes you? What gets you the thought, gets your heart rate going, gets you all excited, makes you just want to sit down and write down all your thoughts or tell a friend everything? And I think when you really start concentrating on those things, and what are those, and really getting a better, clearer idea. And I think for different people, different things work. Some people like to journal, some people like to talk, some people like to sing. I think really getting that, expressing that within yourself, and feeling that more, and really engaging that feeling. Gary and I were having a conversation the other day about when you want something, really feel it. Like, really allow yourself to deep down know what that would feel like. And allow yourself to really feel that good, that happy feeling. And know that that is what you want. And every time you start to feel that fear, put yourself back into that real, true feeling of whether it be success, whether it be of having a loved one, whether it be of having friends, or what it would be like to live in the, you know, house of your dream or the place of your dream, and really concentrate more on that, and you'll have that energy and that excitement to move more forward within those goals.
So that's the big thing right there, is how do we stay focused moving towards where we want instead of, you know, looking at what we don't want and being frustrated with where we are. Yeah. Because, you know, we can't really move from to where we want to go if we're not cool with where we're at right now, because then every step that we're taking, we're going to constantly reinterpret as being inadequate. Yeah. I mean, imagine the frustration of, you know, having your, you know, wanting to go from here to San Diego in your car, and every 10 miles you stop and remind yourself that you're not there yet, you know, and you're upset and frustrated and you're concerned that you're never going to make it, even though you pointed in that direction, right? But every step of the way. So it's, you know, it's this key to remind ourselves that we're not going to not get there, mm-hmm. or that it's never impossible to get where we want to go from where we are, yeah? Mm-hmm. And that the keys are to constantly be spending more of our time fixated on what it is that we want to create and not staring into what it is that we're unhappy about. Because we're never going to move somewhere by sheer avoidance of the negative things that show up. Do you have a comment on that, Gary?
Yeah, I do. To piggyback on what Dina said, one couple of things. The first is, Stephen Covey in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the things that he says in his book is begin with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. And so if you can put yourself there, or if you can look to see what success looks like, what does success look like, visualize it and have a picture of what it looks like. And then from there, go backwards to see what it takes to get you from that success, that visualized success. Then you're preparing yourself to succeed. And this is the visualization piece, and I'm thinking that sort of complements the feeling piece that Dina was mentioning a little earlier as well.
So visualizing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you see something, then you can begin to feel it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which comes with a little bit of time, mm-hmm. and allowing. Yeah, because not everyone's able to access their feelings necessarily. Yeah, I often find myself in conversations where I can ask someone, you know, well, how does that feel? And I end up getting, you know, a dozen thinking words.
Yes.
Yeah. And it saddens me because, again, we live in a society so full of fear that we're pulled from our inner selves and we're thrust into our minds to be super cerebral and highly intelligent to deal with the fearful situation. Mm-hmm. But we're disconnected from our power, which is really in our hearts. So it's this learning how to recognize what's going on in that moment that can be tremendously powerful for us. And even just a split second of that awareness in that moment of what's going on, that I'm being grabbed by fear right now, can create a whole world of difference within your mind and your body, and the difference between a reaction to an event that happens and a response to things that happen. I mean, everyone knows that notion that life is not about the events that show up. It's about how you respond to them and how you interpret them.
Aha! That's aha. The aha! Mm-hmm. The light bulb just went off in my head when I heard you say that, Martin. I think my methodology is to constantly recognize the benefit of the struggle that you're in. Mm. It can be extremely discouraging when you only look at that goal alone and don't realize all the tools you're acquiring along the way, because we're constantly evolving and moving. Even for taking a few steps back, we've moved, and there's some benefit in that. And it's extremely encouraging when you look deep down and dig to find out where is that benefit. And there is some in every experience. Even the seemingly horrible ones will have some kind of benefit. So for me, I try to be as doggedly optimistic as possible. because that's, it's also reality. Optimism is reality, just as much as there is fear can be a reality. It's where you choose to recognize it. And we have a lot of tools at our disposal inside of our body. Actually, we have all the tools we ever will need to conquer what we want.
Some people will say that optimism is, you know, that's phony. It's a cop-out strategy. You're just choosing to gloss it up. A really bummy world, and you know, you're just filling yourself full of positive thinking, fluey.
Maybe, but so be it. So be it. That's one reality, and there's all these other different realities we live in.
What do you think about that?
I would say to that, get out of your head, because I think getting back to like the head to the heart, that's the head talking. That's the head saying, "No, I can't. No, I can't do it." You know, it's that's just optimism, whatever. Where in our hearts, if we really went into our hearts and our bodies and our souls, I think that's where the optimism lies. That's where possibility lies. That's where abundance lies. And we all know that. We all know that if we just really went into our heart and really had that feeling, we all know what just true love feels like. We've had it with someone within our life of just knowing that to me is where optimism and possibility lives. And I think I'd say to that person, just live more of your life there instead of getting in your head about, well, what's realistic, what's not. Live from your heart and you'll live from more optimism. Mm.
We're stuck living in our own bodies. I'm always going to be Kelly Yen, whether I like it or not. And I've got this time on this earth. So we're our own judges ultimately, and we always are. So I think that would be my answer to Fluey, Hooey.
Sure. This is Martin Matthews. It's a little bit late to check in, but you're listening to 89.5 KPOO, and I'm here today with Gary Jones, Kelly Yen, and Dina Bates, all of whom are members of Golden Gate Toastmasters, public speaking group here in San Francisco, where together with myself, we all work and practice our public speaking and serve our personal growth. For ourselves and for our colleagues and really for everyone in our lives and all of society to help ourselves and others become more comfortable with who we are and expressing, you know, what we have to say. And we all have the right to have our own opinions and thoughts and feelings. And our conversation today has navigated from the realm of speaking about fear and what inhibits us to how do we make peace with that or move through that and become more in alignment with what our bliss is and moving in the direction that we really want to move. So we've got about 10 minutes left, and I'd like us all to just chat about, two, people that may be listening. People that may be listening out there that are wanting to move their life in a different direction or that are frustrated with where they are in any area of life, whether it's with their finances that are just totally a wreck or their physical health is a wreck and they're stuck in a negative state and they're, you know, they're afraid of this or that. And they, you know, just how do we speak to some of those folks out there that are stuck and how do we bring them some of the wisdom that we're talking about today? Anybody?
I'll start.
Okay.
When I hear you talk about what makes me think of is a situation that's happened recently to some family members who have gotten really into, some people have heard of vision boards or they've turned into vision books where they have made a book of everything that they want in it. So I would suggest to people, go grab some magazines, go print some things out and put in this book what you want. If it's a healthier body, put in, you know, something about health. If it's more money, put something about money. If it's a better relationship, put something in there about a relationship. What my sister and her husband did was they needed a new family car. They live in the mountains of Montana. They're real salt of the earth type of people with two small kids, but needed a more reliable vehicle with not a lot of money. And they really felt that this is something that they knew they could get and were open to opportunity. And sure enough, a opportunity came for them to get the car that they needed so they could get to and from their home in the middle of nowhere. But I think that's just one example, and I hate to use a material example because I think we can use this within our souls and within our health, but just something that's happened so vividly within my family recently. And I really think that if you sat down with yourself, journaled, wrote out, did pictures, something, and reminded yourself when you felt that you couldn't do it, bring yourself back to that place and feel that and know what it feels like. And as Gary said, start with the end, envision it, and just really know that. And if you have to listen to my voice telling you that, know you can have it. You can have whatever you want or desire in this life.
Mm.
To piggyback on what Dina said, two things. The first is there's a athletic company. I don't know if it's okay to talk about any brand
sure.
or anything, but Adidas, for example, mm-hmm. Their tagline is nothing is impossible, or possible is nothing, which is really exciting to me because it has all these different images of all these great athletic achievements that are happening and nothing being impossible. And so hopefully, I mean, for me, that's a really neat message to listen to and know that there's hope out there, that people are saying, hey, you know, dream the impossible dream type thing, number one. Number two, to piggyback on Dina's thoughts about storyboards and those kinds of things to get us past the fear and get us to our goals, I'd also say that it's important for us to talk about or write down, chart out what is actually going to help us to achieve whatever it is we're trying to achieve or get past that fear, and what specifically is hindering us to get to that goal. Now, fear can't just be the generic answer. It's got to be, you have to be able to be honest with yourself to talk about exactly what that fear is and chart it down and see if there's something within that barrier, if you can be honest with yourself, that hindering barrier, find out what actions you can take to get around that. What is the action plan then to get beyond that barrier and move forward with whatever goal or dream it is that you have? And certainly you're going to have to commit, and you're going to have to be very patient and realistic about everything in and around this goal. But in addition to the storyboards, charting it down and knowing what's helping you and what's hindering you, I think helps to get us there.
Mm, absolutely.
I would say detach yourself from the attachment to your paradigm, to your emotions, which you're attached to. These are things that are old habits. Say perhaps you're used to feeling really bad about something in your life, about your finances. You're really worrying about it. So in one way or another, your heart and your spirit is grabbing hold of it very tightly, and you've owned it, this feeling of fear. So recognize that you're attached and you're gripping tightly to it. At the same time, what you need to do is detach. And there's a variety of tools and methods to do that. Say you could talk to somebody else, and they see the world entirely different than you do, in one way or another. And it's just amazing the kind of information that they can do that can jog your mind just through a conversation and open up those boundaries of what you see. What your mind worldview is just, it is your reality at the moment, but that's not reality at the same time. There are a lot of other realities out there. And sometimes, I'm sure you've experienced this before, one word or one thought can just blow the walls down and you see a whole lot more and see things entirely differently. So that's possible at any moment. Talking with others is helpful then. You can read books. Those are other ways that can blow your walls of perception down
mm-hmm.
and see things in a different way. Even meditation, spirituality, talking, having mentors, things like this. Remove yourself from your notion of who you are and what your condition is, what your situation is, who yourself is. Because that's just one of infinite other realities that also exist out there.
Mm.
I'll leave it at that.
That's a beautiful thought. We've been speaking today about the fact that we do live in a world that's very dense and very fearful, and that stuff is going on around us, and that we can simply just say, you know what? Let's acknowledge that reality and come back to ourselves as individuals, one-on-one. Because we do end up getting caught in a cycle sometimes of just hoping that everything out there will change. And we can illude ourselves by thinking that if we keep picking at what out there is, you know, pissing us off, that maybe we can get that stuff to change so it'll become better for us. When ultimately we always learn that it's a futile strategy to engage. And whether it's, you know, hoping that our partner will change so that we can be more happy with their behavior. If you would just clean up the kitchen more often, then I could be happier. You know, if the entire healthcare system were to be completely revamped so that it served everyone equitably, I would be just fine. Not really going to work. So the key really is, how do we help ourselves to, number one, become understanding that we are where we are and we're okay with where we are. And from that perspective, we can then work to turn our minds and our attentions towards wherever it is we want to go, regardless of the area of development that that is. I mean, all of this has to do with personal development. We can call it that. We can call it developing the self. We can call it embracing love. We can call it whatever you want to call it that focuses on the individual and the reality that each of us has in any given moment choice over what we're nourishing in the next given moment in all areas of our lives, our mind, body, our spiritual relationships, our community, economy, and the environments in which we exist, all of which are influenced by the choices that we make in any given moment. So I want to thank you all for coming in and sharing stories and experiences about navigating and dealing with fear, because so much of it is given to us from the outside. And hopefully listeners can either go back and listen to the show if they want to, or just maybe conjure up their own ideas, their own notions and of what things are grabbing them, what things are getting into their mind and making them fearful. Because a little bit of awareness about that can cut off the impact and can leave you in a neutral, more empowered place to go, you know what, I can see that you're trying to put one over on me right now. You know, listen, I'm going in to do this big presentation tomorrow because I want to. I'm not going to accept your, quote, gift of telling me how important it is because the boss is watching. I don't need that, right? So we can begin to just notice where fear is being thrown around and put down our catcher's mitt and not accept it. And that could be tremendously empowering. So I thank you all for sharing your stories with us and our listeners today. And Gary, thanks again for coming in.
Thank you, Martin, for having me.
Kelly Yen, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Martin.
And Dina Bates, our personal coach, I appreciate your coming. Thanks,
Martin. This has been great.
So thank you all for the wonderful discussion. Listeners, you can go back and hear this show or any past show of Reality Sandwich at realitysandwichradio.com, available for free download. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and healthful living advocate with Healthful Living. And you can sign up for my newsletter if you wish at healthfulliving.org. Reality Sandwich will be back next Thursday at noon with my co-host. We'll be back, Julie Matthews. And you can check the website to see what show she's got coming on. But I know she's got some incredible guests coming on over the next few weeks. There's going to be discussion about traditional healing foods. And I think getting into a few more topics about some toxins in our environment and really just how to help empower ourselves to live a happy and healthy life. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next Thursday.
You've been listening to Reality Sandwich on 89.5 KPOO, San Francisco. This show and any past shows of Reality Sandwich are available for free download at realitysandwichradio.com, where you can also read about upcoming shows. To learn more about Julie Matthews or Martin Matthews, go to healthfulliving.org. Thanks for listening.